Friday morning, and of course, you know the guys that come in here. They're
and
here.
Now, the Bagpipe Brothers, Michael Giddens and Alex Bauman.
Well, Giddens is your day. But before we talk about anything today, I want to know what you did yesterday at 2:45. Who did you damage? Who did you destroy?
No businesses were harmed in the eating of my fast breaking. That's the best way I can put it.
Do you believe that, Alex?
I don't believe that. There's some buffet or some fast food restaurant in Sylacauga or the greater Coosa Valley that's been destroyed by Michael Giddens.
Destroyed?
What you said.
Out of commission?
Out of commission.
What you said would not hold up in a court of law, Giddens. I mean, really. It really
You don't
wouldn't.
Have any proof.
Do what?
You don't have any proof?
Yeah, I have proof right here.
As God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again.
Oh, that's not me. That's AI.
That,
as God is my witness,
that right
I'll
there.
Never be hungry again.
That would not hold up in a court of law.
Yeah, you can't prove that. When that's not me.
When aren't you hungry?
That's an imposter.
Is there a time in the day when you're not hungry outside of when you go to sleep?
Well, you just took it from me, so that's the only time I'm not hungry.
I think Celia wakes up in the middle of the night and feeds you while you're asleep.
No, that's Shepherd.
No, he's awake when he eats.
Getting sleep eats. He doesn't sleepwalk. He sleep eats.
All right, what are we doing today?
We're entering the transfer portal. It's the last day you can do it.
So what buffet are you going to that's going to give you a dollar discount?
Whoever's got the most food. College football transfer portal, the only window, January the 2nd to today, January the 16th. It closes tonight at midnight, and I want to get your thoughts on Auburn and Alabama players entering, leaving, guys coming and going. Who are you excited about? Who do you wish stayed, and who are you glad is finally gone?
All right, can I mention one thing before we get to that
with
the transfer portal? Did you guys see the interview they did with the Clemson baseball coach?
No.
Obviously, something has trickled down from their football coach.
What's the baseball coach's name?
I can't.
Sabo Dweeney?
It may be Sabo Dweeney. It may be, Dabo Sweeney. But anyway, there was a kid from high school, a pitcher, that came and visited their program that they were recruiting. Great pitcher. And he said, I'll come here for this amount. And the coach told him, said, thank you, but we're not interested in your services. He said, we've got guys in a locker room, and we've got guys that are playing here. They get paid NIL money, and they are trying to stay in a program, and we're trying to build something here. And you got a guy that's going to come in and tell me that he wants more money than the guys that have been here for 3 years busting their rear end. I don't care how good they are. I don't want them.
I feel like besides basketball and football, most of the other collegiate sports aren't nearly as affected by NIL yet, at least because the rev share deals and the fact that you have to allocate certain amounts, and everybody's picking football and basketball as their two big ones for the most part across the country. So baseball, softball, soccer, gymnastics, you can go down the list all the way. Those are more still about culture building, about keeping talent for years on end. But it's just the wild, wild west out there for basketball and football right now.
Well, football is bad because it's a 80-man roster, okay, or 100 people.
105 scholarships now. Yeah.
Right. So my thing is you got a lot more kids to choose from and a lot more teams. You know, basketball, I mean, let's figure basketball, you got a 12-man roster. It's hard to go in and tell somebody, I want $16 million to play here when they've got 12 on their team that you're pretty confident with. You know what I'm saying? And same way with baseball. But I applaud this coach. Really, I do. And I wished I could have remembered his name, and we'll look it up before the end of the show.
Sabo Dweeney.
Okay. But what do you guys think about that? I mean, it's obvious that in football, Dabo Sweeney has been hurt because he doesn't like using the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's coming around to it. This year, he's had a lot more activity bringing players in. Before, it was just almost entirely Clemson players leaving and him not replenishing the roster at all. So he's come around to it. You know, that's the thing about it. It's always been that way as a coach. You have to evolve and adapt.
Yeah, you do have to adapt. I mean, let's be honest. You know, way back in the day, Bear Bryant, a lot of people thought that he would never have an African-American play for him. He adapted. He changed. And you know what? He got better as a result of it. I'm not saying that it's always a bad thing. I'm just saying I'm applauding the guys who is telling a 17-year-old kid that I'm not going to pay you $16 million to come here and pitch when I got four guys that have busted their rear end to get to that point for 3 years. You know what I'm saying?
It's adapt or die if you're a head coach.
I get it. Yeah, I mean, your job's on the line. I mean, let's be honest. But you play basketball, Bauman. Let's say you're the head coach at Louisville, and you got a 17-year-old kid that's playing high school basketball in California. He's being recruited by everybody in the country. And you've got a bunch of kids coming back on your roster next year. You're going to be preseason top five. And this kid comes in and says, I'll play for you for $13
million. I don't have $13 million to give him if I'm that coach. If you have a complete roster coming back.
You probably don't. Yeah. I mean, you got – the thing is, like, all the other guys on your team aren't playing for free at this point. So
yeah.
You probably don't have that much money to begin with.
Now, the difference in that, like this kid that was pitching, you know, that visited Clemson, he's got a motivation to wherever he goes, if he plays Clemson, he's going to stick it to him, or at least try to. You understand what I'm saying?
And it's also with returning players and then players that have already played college basketball, they're almost a known commodity to some point, whereas high school players, you don't know how they're going to be when they get to the college level.
I'll say it, flame out. You're right, and I'll say it again. I've never been a huge John Calipari fan, but I saw it again last night. He talked about a guy that's transferred 5 times in 6 years or 4 times in 5 years. Is he graduating? No, he ain't even going to class, okay? And here's the thing. He said this, and I'll never forget this. He said the worst thing in the world is being poor and somebody giving you money and going back and being poor again. Somebody that's transferred 4 times in 5 years, you can just about assure that they don't have a dollar in their pocket. Am I right?
I mean, most likely. Some of these guys do have financial investor mentors that can help them, but a lot of guys don't.
Yeah, I get
it. A lot of guys, they're represented by their family, and their family's just thinking, how much of a cut can I get out of this?
That's so right.
It's just really unfortunate. They got to come up with some baseline rules that the NCAA can actually enforce to help these kids out going forward. Because, I mean, I can't imagine if when I was 17, 18 and I come into $1 million, what kind of decisions and what I would have made. I mean, and I come from a better situation, and I still wasn't mature enough
right
at that point to make the smart decisions financially. I know that these guys who knows how bad their situation was, and even the ones that come from good situations aren't necessarily being advised correctly. So it's just it's really crazy how we've gone so far from that being a student athlete that you're trying to help prepare for life past football and athletics to at this point just it being an arms race at all costs to do whatever you can to win.
Yeah. All right, real quick, you talked about the ones where Glad stayed and gone. The ones that have left Auburn, and I'm sure you're asking me about Auburn.
You got a lot to choose from.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a long laundry list. I'm glad they're all gone.
See, I'm not glad they're there are certain ones.
I'm sorry. There's not a player that has played for Auburn University in the last 3 years that if he's gone, I wish he would have stayed.
What about Damari Alston?
No.
Damari
sorry,
Alston.
But I will tell you this. I am glad for guys like Jeremiah Cobb, who probably could have gotten more money going somewhere else. I mean, he's been a good back this year for Auburn.
Yep.
Stayed healthy, and, you know, I'm glad for Sylvester Smith, not because he's a local guy, and I called a lot of his games and everything. He's a good kid and all this, that, and the other, but he probably had the opportunity to go to somewhere else and make a little bit more money. But he's been a lifelong Auburn fan. He walked on and did it right and now is making money and making a difference. He's a doggone good football player.
Yeah.
Okay. But You ask me. Sure, I'd love to have a talent like Cam Coleman. Okay. But I'm kind of glad he's gone if he's shopping for money. And that's all he's doing.
Yeah.
He's shopping for money. Bauman, who's some of the ones on Bama?
I'm going to miss Isaiah Horton. I'm going to miss what he did to Auburn in the Iron Bowl. 3 touchdowns. The Horton here is a hat trick. But we go out and replace him with Noah Rogers. And Noah Rogers, I'm sure his NIL deal is a lot less than what Isaiah Horton.
I don't know, because the rumor is that Rogers got quite a bit of money after Horton left. Coleman decided not to come.
Well, Coleman took $50,000 from him just to go visit. Yeah,
he probably did that for everybody. He went and visited. But I hear Rogers' numbers are pretty high at this point. He's expected to be wide receiver number one next year, which you got to be wondering about Ryan Williams, what he's thinking. He's one that is sticking around no matter what the offers are. But he keeps getting passed up as wide receiver one by Kalen DeBoer.
Well, be honest, Bauman, the year that Ryan Williams had this last year, gone, or would you care?
I mean, I would miss him because of what he's done for the program. I know he struggled last year, but what he did his freshman year.
He's a talent.
You can't ignore he's a talented player. It's not like he's some bum that comes in the games and somehow gets playing time. If he learns how to catch with his hands and not his body, he'll be outstanding at the receiver position.
And then I'll throw in Deuce Knight for Auburn. Deuce Knight came to Auburn, really, in my opinion, for one reason and one reason only.
Money.
No, because he's leaving for that same amount of money, if not a little bit more. He came to Auburn because of Hugh Freeze. I mean, let's be honest, okay? He had the opportunity to go to Ole Miss.
He was out of high school. Notre Dame.
And Notre Dame, okay? He came to Auburn because of Hugh Freeze, maybe because of money too, but he's not getting listen, he played one ball game, and he lit it up against Mercer. Okay, what kind of payday did he receive as a result of it? Not a lot more than what he was making at Auburn. So, I mean, I don't really have a whole lot against him. I honestly believe he came to Auburn because of Hugh Freeze. That's just my opinion.
One guy I'm glad's gone from Alabama is Wilkin Formby. I have never seen a worse offensive lineman in my entire life.
He got a pay raise, didn't he?
He got a huge pay raise. Yeah. I'm not sure what film they were watching.
Where'd he go?
Texas A&M.
Oh, good for them. Good for Elko. Yeah, he's not the worst offensive lineman you've ever seen. May I?
65.
Wilkin Formby might not get the penalty.
Here's the thing. Pre-snap, Xavier Chaplin is one of the worst I've ever seen. Post-snap, he's pretty good.
Post-snap, he's terrible, too.
I don't know. His PFF grade in pass blocking and run blocking are both over 70.
He's kind of deaf, isn't he? He has hearing problems. Yeah, Wilkin Formby's fine.
Yeah, that is not an excuse. As an offensive lineman, you don't jump off sides if you look at the ball. That's what you're taught to do. It doesn't matter if you're deaf or dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to – I tried to excuse midseason because he was deaf – the pre-snap penalties, the fact that we were on a clap count, home or road, didn't make a lot of sense. But
all you gotta do is watch the ball.
But we changed things up, and he still never fixed it. But if he didn't commit a penalty, he was good after the snap.
Well, that was only 10% of the plays.
After the snap, Wilkin Formby was on his rear end or escorting someone to sack Ty Simpson last season. He would just olay people. It wasn't a block. It was, olay, here you go. Hey, here's Ty Simpson for you. His bulging disc. Go ahead and hit him one more time.
All right. So I have received a notice, Bauman, okay, that there is one buffet in Sylacauga that has lowered their prices, which is basically giving him a raise. They have lowered their prices to keep him from going in the transfer portal.
I don't know. I'm willing to spend some money if the food's good. So, nobody mentioned the no-brainer for Auburn that I'm glad didn't enter the portal.
Who?
Xavier Atkins.
Well, yeah.
He had better statistics in every category of the three semifinalists for the Butkus.
The awards are a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Better stats in every single category.
The fact that Jeremiah Smith won Big Ten Receiver of the Year, but Mekhi Lemon won the Biletnikoff makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
The voter Big Ten voters forgot that USC was in the Big Ten.
I mean, I've said it along. Yeah, I mean, I think Mendoza certainly, you know, he deserved the Heisman.
It's been one of the weaker Heismans, in my opinion. It's not that he's not a bad player. It's just a weaker year for talent in that.
But in the last few years, the Heisman, especially in the last 20 years, it's just been a joke.
I mean, there's been some really outstanding years here and there, but I hate the fact that the Heisman has now become you have to be on a championship caliber team.
No.
They gave it to Travis Hunter a couple years ago.
And Jaden Daniels when LSU was out of the picture.
Yeah. So, I mean, it happens. RG3 with Baylor, Tebow, his year. But most of the time that doesn't happen unless your stats are absurd. But then they also don't like to give it to the pure stat monsters like Ashton Jeanty should have won it over Hunter. His stats were incredibly better. And his team was in the playoff picture.
Stats, to me, you go back to what the Heisman started. It's the best player. I mean, you can pad stats anywhere in the country at any school with an exceptional player, but it's the best player who means the most to his team. I'll go back to the days I was at Auburn. Bo Jackson, we were 8-4 when he won the Heisman.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell me that Chuck Long deserved it over Bo Jackson? Give me a freaking break.
And you're
going to
tell me that throughout the entire history that the Heisman Trophy has been given out, that there's not been a single year in college football where a lineman's been the best player in the country?
I totally agree.
On either side of the ball?
Orlando Pace should have won it.
Ndamukong Suh.
Yes.
Aiden Hutchinson had a shot from Michigan. Will Anderson Jr.
I mean, they got votes, but nobody's ever won it.
That's right.
And really, no defenders ever won it unless they played offense or special teams.
Woodson.
At the same time, Woodson and Hunter.